You're listening to Rendezvous with the Writer with Bobby Jean and Jim Bell, only on LA Talk Radio.
Me
and
story is
everything.
We're your hosts tonight, Jim and Bobby Bell. You've been listening to Hot Texas with Hot Texas Swing Band,
yeah,
and Alex Dormont
and his band. And we're so happy to have you with us tonight for episode 193.
Right?
Do you know we're just two shows away from our anniversary? The first show in August, shows away. The first show in August, we'll be celebrating our fourth anniversary.
You gonna make a cake?
We'll eat a cake.
Yeah,
oh, we are so happy that you're with us tonight, whether you're joining us live or you're picking up on the podcast or the replay or later the audio on Podbean. Thank you for being with us. And Jim, we have another full house tonight. Who do we have?
We have Bruce Chivalry. Andy's book here, The Last Stage.
Yes, welcome, Bruce. And let's bring on our second guest.
Sam F. Park.
And Sam F. Park.
And his book, Wasted.
Wasted. Hello, Sam, and greetings to you.
Hey, Bobby and Jim, how you doing?
Good to see you.
So, Sam, where are you joining us from tonight?
I'm joining you from La Crescenta, California.
La Crescenta. We know where that is.
We know where that is. Yeah.
Argentina. There's a lot of Western-type history up here in the foothill, Bill.
Absolutely. Bruce, where are you joining us from tonight?
I'm in Northridge, right over by CSUN, and moved here 7 years ago. I can look out the window and see all the mountains where they used to do the B-movies. So,
Sure. And we love your backdrops. Let's see, Bruce, behind you, we have a big film poster, and that is of?
It's Gary Cooper in The Westerner, and then that's Gene Autry on the door behind me. Next to him is the Lone Ranger, Clayton Moore, and Randolph Scott. So, just a few.
Some of my heroes. And let's see, Sam, you got a whole lot of color behind you. What is that backdrop? How fun.
That's my Bela Lugosi drapery back there, and I'm wearing the Creature from the Black Lagoon t-shirt tonight. I'm going to make it casual.
We are so delighted.
Courtney.
Yeah, I know. And Courtney Joyner is probably watching. If he is, hello, Court. We're happy to have you there in the wings watching. Mutual friend and had a lot to do with putting us all together tonight, didn't he, Courtney? And
yes,
Bruce,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Courtney was instrumental in me writing the book. And it was based on a screenplay I wrote during the pandemic. But he read it and said, you know, Sam, I know we've talked about it, but go ahead and make this one a book. And that's what happened.
And Bruce, we met you through Courtney originally.
Yep. And I met Sam through Courtney. Courtney's like the center of the universe. If you know Courtney, you suddenly know 50 other people.
That is so true. He's the link. He's the magic link. Well, we have a lot to talk about tonight. So, Jim, do you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about Bruce and a little bit about Sam, and then we'll rock and roll.
Oh, okay. Did we want to see where we broadcasting from?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's right, because we asked both of you, where are we broadcasting from, Jim?
Okay, let me get my notes out. I'm not sure. All right. I'll tell you. We're in Spirits Bend, Wyoming. We have just gotten off the train and are waiting for the stagecoach. Wait, here it is. But it's all white, and the horses are white, and the driver has red eyes. It's not looking good. Some people might call this a death stage. Maybe we better call Uber.
Oh, Jim, you should be a writer. You're so clever.
No, not that clever.
We always have fun trying to come up with some fun place that we're broadcasting right from. So Jim gave us a little bit of both books there. How fun. So why don't you start with Bruce?
Okay, bio. Bruce Timberlake is a long, lifelong lover of tales of the Old West, both on film and in print. Born in Alabama, he moved to L.A. to attend USC and then worked in numerous positions in the film industry before becoming a teacher of scriptwriting and video production in Chicago. Since returning to L.A. in 2017, he has written several award-winning screenplays. The Last Stage is his first novel.
Oh, and it's so good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He knows a little about Sam F. Park. Sam to his friends.
Sam F. Park is a screenwriter, film producer, and comic book creator. Sam's film works range from production to writing and producing. His comic body work has been in editing, writing, art direction, advertising, promotion, and distribution. He's the West Coast editor of the award-winning MonsterVerse Comics. He writes novels now and look for more.
Whoa.
Welcome, Sam.
Is there
going
to be another one to this book, Sam? Do we have a follow-up coming to waste?
I have some ideas, and we'll bring the women in a little more in this.
This was just like Bruce's book. We could not put them down until, unfortunately, there was a last page. And both of you, oh my goodness, the books are quite different, but both at moments just heart pounding. And Bruce, this book, The Last Stage, this is where we gush a little bit. The Last Stage, which is, tell us a little bit, we're going to talk in greater detail, but rather than me say sort of the concept behind the book, tell us a little bit about what you hoped to uncover in the writing of this book.
Well, the book was written near the end of the pandemic. I'd actually, like a lot of people I know, had written it as a screenplay first and then converted it into a novel. And the basic idea of it is that it's Wyatt Earp at the end of his life. It's 1929, and he's dying in L.A., and the book is basically his final dream. And along with that, we kind of get the whole history of him and his wife, Sadie, from the time they left Tombstone up till this moment.
Yeah. And I couldn't put it down. You know, most of us know a little bit, and some of us know a lot, or think that we do, about Wyatt and his life and his time with Sadie. But most of us probably kind of lose track of his life after the fight that, you know, had controversy about it. I certainly didn't know about so much of where we follow them into different gold mining camps and oil leases and just all kinds of things. They live a long life. And I really enjoyed that we got to see more of them than what we know of that 30-second fight and that boxing match. So I just truly enjoyed the book.
I need to ask a question here.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this, and we're talking about Sadie.
Josephine.
And I always called her Josie. So what is her real name?
Her name was Josephine, but apparently Wyatt took great pleasure in teasing her by calling her Sadie, because I don't think she liked it very much.
And we're going to talk more about them in another moment or two, but I'm going to go to Wasted now. Oh, my goodness. So Wasted, so I think I was wasted about halfway through the book. I felt like I was wasted. And it's just heart-pounding. It's thrilling. It's a violent but not gory. It's captivating. You can't, you know, you think that you can finish a chapter and you'll be able to put it down. No, I was reading till the late hours of the night. I think you were too. And I know that it was gripping for you too.
You can't read this late at night.
Well, yeah, you can't read it wasted or you'll miss a whole lot of the really good writing.
You had to read it in the daytime with the lights on.
Well, if I can say, you know, it has elements of gothic horror to it. Mm-hmm. And that was my goal, was I was trying to, you know, the Dark Knight opening, and where the clouds come in and everything is, you know, there's no light anywhere. And then leading on with the, you know, we have the, I'm going to fudge a little bit. We have the Black Widow spider.
Oh, yeah.
Things
yeah.
that are going on.
Oh, yeah. So
it definitely has elements of that in the writing, but I'm so pleased to hear you guys, you too, tell me things that struck you about it, and that pleases me to no end.
Well,
you know, we were talking this afternoon. You know, we had one of our authors on here a few months ago, and one of the questions coming up: could a Western be a thriller? And it's kind of like, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and we'll just we'll move on to the conversation to another question. But I'm just going to say right now to the audience: get wasted, get wasted today.
It's always one.
So, how did you two meet?
Well, again, it was through Courtney. It was because he had told me that Sam was writing this Western book, so Sam and I met each other. And as he was writing, I kept saying, when you're done with it, I'd love to see it. So when he finished it, he passed it on to me. And since I'd started publishing, I published it. So that's basically it. And again, it's all to Courtney. And I'm going to step away for one moment and turn off this little fan I have going, because I think it's causing some noise.
Is that what's making the noise? No problem. That's fine.
You know
that's
what?
There we go.
Bruce's audio went out on me. I can hear you fine. I can hear, of course, me, but... I'm just letting you know that I'm not hearing Bruce anymore.
Okay, Bruce, talk, and let's see if he can get you now.
Can you hear me now, Sam? No?
No.
Nope.
Sorry.
But I know Bruce so well, and we've been, we have told these stories on each other. I think I can kind of follow along, so it's not, if it's okay at your end.
Our producer, the other Sam, the Sam doing the magic,
right,
suggests Bruce to go ahead and log out and come back into the studio, and Sam will bring you right back on. All right?
Okay.
We'll meet you in a minute. Okay. Oh, no, not Sam. I'm sorry. I meant to have Bruce do that. Our Sam. Okay, Bruce. Well, let's see. Maybe Sam will come back in and he'll hear you.
Yeah, I'll talk for a moment until Sam comes on. But yeah, that was it. We met through Courtney. And again, I think that Wasted is a fantastic book as well. I was really excited to publish it because it's just a really gripping Western story. And
yes,
as you said,
yes.
From mine's more of a elegiac, heartfelt, you know, kind of remembrance. And his is a punch to the gut.
Yeah.
Did you want to say a word about Henry Gray Publishing?
Your publishing
house. Yeah, I can just tell you briefly, the book is part of the reason that I started that back up. Years ago, I wanted to try out the publish on demand market, so I self-published a book called Billion Dollar Batman, and Ingram was just starting to do print on demand, so I used that for that book. And then didn't really do much of anything else with Henry Gray Publishing until I wrote the novel of The Last Stage, and I tried going the traditional publisher route. And after spending about 8 months with one saying they'd like to do it and then reneging, I figured I could keep doing that for the next 5 years and still maybe not get it published, or I could just go back to Henry Gray and publish through that. And once I had that thought, I immediately thought about all my writer friends who were writing books and said I could publish theirs too. And in the past 4 years, I've published about 40 books.
Wow. So,
that's good. You published that the book, Honorary Mention Boys, right?
Yeah. Oh, I meant to bring that to the camera. Yeah. Yes. Yes, that's another one that you published that we just had on with Cindy Mitchum and Courtney and Henry a couple weeks ago. And it's a beautiful publication. I'm sorry I didn't bring it to the camera.
I appreciate you saying that. And yeah, I was really very proud to be doing that book. I'm a big Robert Mitchum fan and a fan of her dad and his music, John Mitchum. And also, I published Joe Cornette's A Prayer for the Damned book. That's the novelization of his movie. So we've got four Westernish books so far, and we do a word search series. We have a Western word search. So okay. We've done quite a few Western books.
I hear Bruce. I hear you. So just to let you know.
Yay.
Yay. Okay. He's back.
We said all sorts of bad things about you, Sam.
I know.
So one last question about the publishing house. If we have writers that are listening and they're looking for a publisher, are you accepting manuscripts? And if you are, how should they contact you?
I do read things. I just got two in this week. You know, I mean, I'm a little backlogged right now, which is a good thing. Thank goodness. And I just today finished doing a total revamp of the website, where they can go to henrygraypublishing.com. And the website might be a little buggy right now, but it'll get worked out over the next few days. But I think it looks much better than it had, because the original I did 4 years ago, and looking at it now, it looked like something that was done like in the 1950s.
Yeah. It's so hard. Unless you want the retro look, it's really hard to stay on top of. Technology is just, you know, we can hardly keep on top of it with the little bit that we do, you know, craziness. So welcome back, Sam. Do we have a question for Sam before we take our first little break?
Do we have a question?
Do we have a question? Oh, we have a question for both of you. Ask the question for both and start with Sam.
What was the question for both of them?
Is the Western relevant today? Sam, we'll start with you.
Well, of course it is. I don't see how the Western can ever go out of fashion. I mean, I know there have been periods that seemed like it was, but that's just because, you know, American films, and they dominated the world from the silence on up until recently. They made a bunch of Westerns, and people like John Ford and others, you know, love to explore stories through them because, in 30 years, I think, of time after the Civil War, the expanses, the landscapes, which allow you to zero in on the people that are involved in it. I just don't see how that could ever, ever go out of style. And the fact that, I think, Bruce, you had mentioned this the other day about how Westerns work in all kinds of genres, so to speak.
Yeah, I think the Westerns are a great container for all kinds of stories. Mm-hmm. You could do comedy Westerns, thriller Westerns like Wasted, or romance Westerns. And in the Westerns, I think, are always going to be with us because there are two art forms that are uniquely American, jazz music and Westerns. Yes. And I feel it too, even in periods where it seems like there aren't a lot of Westerns, Star Wars is a Western. You know, you get Westerns.
Absolutely.
Other things.
Yeah, and they even filmed in some Western locations, didn't they?
Sure, they did.
Westerns, yeah.
And I still say the first season of Mandalorian is John Ford's Three Godfathers in space.
Yeah. Well, we are going to step away for just a moment to tell you one of the places you can order the books of many of our author guests, including tonight's guests. Find their books on the Out West Shop affiliate page on bookshop.org. More with Sam and with Bruce when we come back and take a look at this ad and the trailer. We'll be right back. Story is everything. Find a great one on Out West Shop's bookshop. Go to outwestshop.com, find books and CDs on the menu, choose Shop Out West on bookshop.org. Browse through featured authors on Rendezvous with a Writer, Explore curated book lists and our featured picks. Add in note cards, calendars, and jigsaw puzzles. One-stop shopping for great gifts. Use the search box to find thousands more titles. Make the switch. Your purchase supports us as independent booksellers. That's our story.
When the webs of memory snap, a broken man is left without a past. And hunted by those who can't forget it. Wasted by Sam F. Park. Available now from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers.
Bam, 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 bam.
You guys.
That Bruce, is a talented guy, I tell you. He made all that.
I didn't do it all by myself, though, because Sam gave me a script to go from. So he came up with the idea for it, and I just created the visuals, and I think Leonardo for that one.
I've seen a lot of trailers, but that's one of the best trailers I've ever seen.
Thank you.
You did a great job on
that. You know, the other day in our garage in a corner, Jim found a Black Widow.
Ooh.
And I don't know that I could ever look at a Black Widow quite the same way again.
Not without a can of rain.
Bam. Thanks so much.
That one, I had to run for that one. You know how big that one was?
You hope it didn't have babies.
I saw a couple when I was in Alabama. So,
You would. Well, gentlemen, welcome back. We're just already having so much fun. So Bruce, you already talked a little bit about where Last Stage was set and a little bit about that. You didn't necessarily tell us the inspiration, and you did have something that inspired the writing of this book, as I recall.
Yeah, the book, I wrote it mostly as the pandemic was getting underway, and it's like many things that were written during the pandemic. I had one family member who had passed away from COVID during that time. And there were so many people who were not making it through that. It just got me reflecting on death and dying and what does it all mean. And that's essentially what the book is all about. Because the Last Stage comes from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's five stages of death, or death and dying, or grieving someone who's death and dying. And I wove that into the story, where Wyatt's kind of going through the five stages in his dream, while Sadie's going through the five stages watching him pass away in front of her.
Yes. And I found that, I guess maybe as some of us are aging and we're losing, you know, it feels like we lose somebody regularly. Whether they're close, very close, or they're within our circle, or they're, you know, the name. And you think, oh my goodness. And so I think that I found that all very touching to me, even though I understood these characters and what they're going through. I felt that made it personal for me. And then I thought it was interesting. You had Stuart Lake there.
That was punching the truth a little bit, because Stuart like wasn't there. He barely had like one interview with Wyatt before Wyatt died. Wyatt had an accountant who had first written a book that didn't go over so well. But I thought, for the sake of condensing the story, it would help to have Stuart Lake there, because he's the guy who then wrote Frontier Marshal, which became the basis of practically every Wyatt Earp movie made from 1929 onward. And the TV series from the 50s that he was a producer on. So it's mostly because of Stuart Lake in that book that we know who Wyatt Earp is, because he wasn't that well known at the time he died.
Yeah, yes, which is a surprise, isn't it? Because we think everybody would have known.
What was the inspiration for writing the book?
But you could ask him again.
Yeah, the actual inspiration for writing the book. That you're just getting into novels? You could have written on anything on War Travel.
Originally, it was written as a screenplay, and of course, screenplays are very compact. So then I have decided to turn it into a book.
Okay.
I found a long time ago when I was trying to turn another script into a book that if you just do the script in book form, in prose, you get about 40 pages. You know, which is why I think short stories like Tin Star make good movies like High Noon. You know, and if it's a big epic book, you got to really condense it. But if it's a short story, you can let it breathe a little and expand it. So I had to do a lot of expanding of that script to make it a novel. And a lot of it came from Casey Terpetiller and his biography of Wyatt Earp, Bill Stuart Lake's book, plus some other books that I look at for research. So there's quite a bit of research went into it because the script doesn't go into all the past history as much as the book does.
Yeah. I guess Sam is back on the screen, but now Sam can't hear us. Okay, to our Sam of LA Talk Radio, Sam, is there something we should do?
I think you guys' audio has gone out, but now it's come back in, I think, if you directed.
We can hear him. He can hear us.
Okay, can you hear us now, Sam? Sam?
They say it's on. We'll have to disc.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I know, and he's been so excited to be on. I'm so sorry we're having this little glitch.
You know, that's modern era. You know, the computers are great until they're not.
Yeah, Bruce, did you in all that research? Was there anything that kind of jumped out at you, like, wow, I did not know that? Or did you feel
I think a lot of people, when they think about Wyatt Earp, they don't really think about him beyond the shootout at the OK Corral. And, you know, here's a guy who was gold mining in Alaska, and he went to San Diego. He's all over California. He owned cars. You know, you don't think of Wyatt Earp driving around in a car, but he did. He only had one house that's still standing out in Vidal, where most of the story takes place. And it's where they had their Happy Days mine that they would go to in the winter months and try mining. Sam, can you hear us?
I can hear you. How about Bobby and Jim?
Hello, Sam. I hear you
fine now.
And all right. Very good.
I'm running out of bad things to say about you, so you got to stay on.
Bruce is there.
Oh my gosh.
Sam, a question.
I know. Sam, we have to ask you a question before we lose you again.
Let's ask him about the research question. Did you do a lot of research for the book?
I love doing research for anything that I write. So, and thank God for the internet where you can, and now with AI assisted, I can go and find out a lot of things about the areas that I'm writing about and look up things. So, yes, I did do, Jim, I did do a lot of research.
Yeah. And you said...
I hope it paid off.
Well, I think it...
It's a great book. We're recommending this book.
But we
are doing the daytime.
You said it in Wyoming. Why did you choose Wyoming?
You know, I love Westerns, and, you know, there's Lonesome Dove, and even Lonesome Dove, started in Texas and moved down, and all these things. I just felt like Wyoming is not used as much as some of the other states. Began to investigate it, and I also wanted there's two characters, Ardway, and then there's the Reverend Gamble, who's also the lawman in the thing. They had come from somewhere and ended up in Wyoming to kind of deal with, you know, leave their past behind, so to speak. So that's the reason I went with Wyoming.
Well, and you have two very strong women characters, and I love you put it in Wyoming, and you wrote strong women, because Wyoming is known as...
The first state or territory in America to allow women to vote.
Yeah.
Which the strong women in the story, I didn't get to use as much as I'd liked at this point as we're introducing things and stuff, but I really, that spoke to me, and it says so much and informed also our other lady, the lady that runs the hotel and the restaurant, who had started or came to the area as a trail cook, you know, and then moved on to this, working with Ardway, the rancher. You know, I just love the fact that Wyoming had that attitude, and I'm sure there was a lot of chauvinism, but whatever the women were, they shut that up, you know? So another reason to do Wyoming.
I'm so glad we're still all on camera, but I am going to go away for a very short break. But don't anybody touch your keys or your mics or anything. Yeah, hands off. We're going to turn the controls over to our Sam of LA Talk Radio. Are you a writer? Here's a word, very important word from our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison. And when we come back, you'll hear a little bit of a song. We'll be right back. You're invited to join the team. Up your author brand when you team up with Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, specializing in author branding, digital book tours, book reviews, and social media. Experienced, trusted, effective. Get noticed. Visit BlueCottageAgency.com and ClicksByMadison.com. Proud sponsors of Rendezvous with a Writer.
That 30-second gunfight out near the old OK. The Clantons against my brothers. Good old Doc Holliday. But I left bloodshed behind me with those Arizona days. To travel with you, Josie, till I was 80 years of age.
Wandering with you, Wyatt, was the pleasure of my days. I left the stage, my family, and ordinary ways. We lost two unborn babies on the California coast. But to hear you call me Sadie is what I will miss the most. From Tombstone to Coral Lane, to the San Diego Pier, we were only searching for the next frontier.
Welcome back. We've been just listening to a song, Wyatt and Josie, written and performed by Katie Moffert, one of our favorites, and David Wilkie, who used to be with Cowboy Selleck. It's from Katie's album, Where the Heart Is. That's a great song.
Oh, the whole time I was reading your book, Bruce, music was just going through my mind, and I was listening to everything that I could that had to do with Tombstone or Wyatt or Josie, and so that was really fun. And, you know, that song and your book capture their relationship beautifully.
And thank you for sending those songs to me. But all the research I did, I wasn't really aware of those. You know, that wasn't the other thing you sent me. They're great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have a heart. We have a heart for music and songwriters. And, oh, my goodness, we lost Sam again. Oh, wait.
Here he comes.
Here I am.
Here he is. All right. So, Jim, you're going to ask your favorite character question.
Yeah, we get the character questions right. And a question I always, because I think about the characters myself, that's why I ask this kind of a question. They try to figure out how they're going to think and how they're going to perform and are they consistent in the book. But the question I do have is, do they ever surprise you?
Well, always. I mean, I start a story with a vague outline in my head and maybe a page or so, which wasn't always the case. I used to write a lot of outlines, big and long, and try to follow it. But now I'm very confident with writing, so I know where I'm going, and then I start it, and then about 10, 20 pages in, the characters are formed, and they're telling me things, are doing things, and, you know, they can, I'm suddenly hit with that they're not going to do what I want to do. I have to either write another character or work it something new in to make it possible for that character to do. And I love that. I love that about the writing. That, I think, comes from writing for a long time and trusting in your writing that you know you'll get to an ending, but the joy is, where's the story going to take you once you get going? What about you, Bruce?
Pretty much the same, yeah. And, you know, it's like with the Wyatt Earp story. Wyatt is based a lot on me. I think most writers have put some of themselves into the characters. Not to say that I would ever want to be in a shootout. I think I'd immediately hit the dirt and cry. But, you know, the relationship with Sadie is very much from personal experience. And some of the other things in the story, a lot of his past. And, you know, I'm on the same page as Sam about outlining. I didn't do a whole lot for this story. I usually don't start writing until I know where it starts and where it ends. With this one, it was pretty obvious. And the middle part's always a struggle. But with this one, I was listening to the radio and trying to figure out how to do it. And I heard an interview with Harold Ramis, where he said when he did Groundhog Day, he was struggling until he thought of the idea of using those five stages of death and dying of Kubler-Ross. And once he had that, it all clicked. Yeah. So here. Once I heard that, it all clicked for me.
Interesting.
Are any characters ever based on real life people? You don't have to tell me who they are, but
I think there's a lot of composites. You kind of put people together with certain things and all that. I can tell you this, that the black sheriff / reverend and the story is based on the idea of Bass Reeves and what I know of his history, and just a really big guy, but a good person, and you know, wants to do the best he can despite having to deal with realities. And then I took his name from my cousin, my white cousin, Carrie Gamble, who's an illustrator. So that was a mixture.
There you go.
Yeah. Did you know, Sam, that Wasted, and that is the name of a character, did he come full blown to you, or did he reveal himself to you as you went along?
No, I tell you what, there was two things. I was walking one day during the pandemic, and I was thinking of, you know, a Western. I have other ideas too, but then it hit me. What about the drunken character? What about a character that no one sees anything worth saving or dealing with? And then that took me back to Gunsmoke and the Louie, the drunken character on Gunsmoke. And that's how I began to think, oh, wait, I'll take that guy. Let's see. Oh, I'll make him an amnesiac because of his whatever drove him to drinking. And then we'll follow the story. And he turns out not to be anything like what you thought he would be.
Yeah, it's one of the surprises, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, there's a character by the name of Kroger. See, and a guy like him, I figure he must be modeled after somebody.
Kroger. And Fendris. Yeah, you write some really good villains, and of course, you have to have a really good villain if you're going to have a really good guy, don't you? They have to be equally. Sam back. Okay. Sam, you have to write a really good villain to have a really good guy, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bruce's book, and even though he's based on a real character, he had dealt with some pretty rough characters and things. And the fight at the OK Corral, and, you know, go back to my darling Clementine, the introduction of the Clanton gang, the family. And, it's so, darling Clementine is another Western that got me into wanting to do Westerns from a little kid on. And so the villain is usually very, I think if you write a good villain, you must go, I won't say go out of your way, but you must make him human. And there are reasons he is what he is, and that he wants this land, or he wants the rights to the river, or something molded him like that. And that's what I try to do with the character called Fendris in my story. Mm-hmm. Is that
precisely?
He fought right along with Ardway at one point in the past, and they have a respect for each other.
Do you have a question? Jim, did you have a question?
I just want to ask you, we're talking about, you brought up and Clementine. I just wonder if you guys had a favorite writer movie.
Oh.
Ooh, that is a good question. I mean, Tombstone, I think, is really entertaining. I think the Kevin Costner one is probably more factually accurate, but it's not as pulpy and entertaining as Tombstone. And Henry Fonda in Darling Clementine is fantastic.
Yeah. Everybody in My Darling Clementine, in the John Ford's direction of it, the guy that played Clinton, what's his name? The guy that played the head, the father of the Clan.
Walter Brennan.
Walter Brennan. Walter Brennan.
And his delivery and everything under Fonda. But then there are moments like Fonda sitting in the chair on the plankway and using his feet, playing a little jig to himself. I mean, that's what makes, I think, great story. You have to be able to expose a lot of sides to characters. And all that. And with a villain, boy, Brenner did just a brilliant job.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Randolph Scott was a pretty good Wyatt Earp too in Frontier Marshal.
Yes.
Okay, I have a quick question, then we're going to go listen to another piece of music. I have a quick question, and it's kind of aimed at you, Sam, to start with at least. So you write very compelling action sequences. I mean, it's like watching a cartoon in a way, because these characters just get back up again. You think they got to be down, but they're up again, and they're on every stair, and they're up at, very, very compelling. How is there a tip to how you keep track? Do you keep a body count? Like, do you remember who you killed so you don't bring them back?
Well, luckily, we're dealing with a lot of the third guy on the left characters at this point with the shootouts and things, especially as big as it gets in Wasted. But I was known back in my old days when I wrote screenplays for writing really good action and quips.
Really?
So that is there in my mind. I see this stuff very well, whatever are the quiet moments. I see very well in my mind. It's translating it to the page so that it's entertaining. I mean, I do not want anybody to say, Oh, I didn't like that because it just was so boring or something. You know, I want to entertain people. Yeah. That's my number one go. I can have a message, but that's it.
We're going to listen to one more piece of music. This is written by our good friends, Jim Jones and Bruce Huntington, and it's called Wyatt's Lament. And we'll be right back to just kind of finish up the show. Don't go away.
The day broke hard and cold. The air was still and clear. The pain in his gut, more than any man should bear. His mind was filled with memories from his long and checkered past. He cheated death before, but his time had come at last. From Deadwood to Dodge City, Alaska to Coeur d'Alene, his fame had spread since Tombstone. In shadows his flaws remain. They'd paint his life with broad strokes in complementary hues. Part truth, part fabrication, his legend bulletproof. He thought, I could have died in Tombstone instead of this damn bed. A noble heart, a people's prince. Here I lie instead. No hat, no gun, no boots. In ragged bedclothes dressed. Will ever flights of angels sing me to my rest.
Wyatt's Lament. We're getting short on time, folks. Where can we find you? Where can we find your books?
All right, we'll start with Sam because he's just back with us. Sam.
You may have heard the question.
Sam, where can we find you and get your books?
I can't hear anything.
Okay. They want to know where they can find your books.
Yeah, where can we find
it? Wasted is sold. You know, anywhere that is online with major booksellers, such as, as Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and you know, many more. And Bruce can tell you more about that than me, but it's everywhere. I know that.
The Henry Gray books are all available just online primarily. But it's Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, any place that sells books online, you can get them there.
Bookshop.org, yep.
Yeah. And I just would like to say for anyone who reads one of these books and enjoys it, the best thing you can do for any author is take 5 minutes and leave a review.
Yeah.
That does more for the authors than anything.
I second that motion.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, gentlemen, we're so happy that you were both with us tonight. We know we had a few little technical glitches, but what a great show. And we're so delighted. And Sam, when you have that next project out, I know you're working on Stinger. Next year, you need to let us know so we can have you back. We want to say a thank you. Oh, you have a quote.
We don't have time.
Well, do it. It's a short one. You have a quickie. Yes, we have to have your quote.
I like this quote because it's really from Sam's dedication to his parents. And the quote is, belief in the impossible to forge a reality is a rare gift.
Yes. So we've been talking tonight with Sam F. Park with the book Wasted and Bruce Sibley with The Last Stage. And we thank you all for joining us tonight. We want to give a special shout out to Sam Hassan, LA Talk Radio's founder, our DJ and engineer, our sponsors, Blue Cottage Agency and Clicks by Madison, Alex Dormont and the Hot Texas Swing Band. And next week, this is a month of really fabulous Western fiction and dark shadows. Next week, Alfred Wallen joins us from Germany, and we'll be talking about the first three books of a series he's already written more books to, his Kennedy U.S. Marshall series. I read book one today. I'm halfway already through book two. Alfred, if you're watching, we'll be ready. Now, join us next week. And Jim, do you have a final comment?
As we always say, always a great day out west.
Keep writing.
We'll keep reading.
We'll keep reading. Thank you so
Thanks,
much.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, all.
See you down the trail. Have a good night.
Good night.